In 2012, I was living in St. Louis, going to grad school. Several church friends were visiting from out of town. I was excited to meet up with them at this Thai restaurant on this particular Saturday night. There was no place to park on the main road, so I had to park on this side residential street. The restaurant was very close to downtown St. Louis. It wasn't the best part of town, but it also wasn't considered a bad part either. Didn't think too much about it. So I began to walk towards the restaurant. In the main road from my car, I heard someone running from behind me. Now my first instinct was it could be someone dangerous. But then I calmed myself down, realizing it's a nice night, I'm sure they're just going for a jog. Now this man, who was about 15 feet behind me at the time, he asked me for what time it was. So I pulled out my cell phone and I said it was 8:15 or whatever it was. I continued walking, I walked a little bit more briskly. He muttered something else to me. So I turned around and saw what he wanted. I found a black semi-automatic handgun pointed in my face. The man demanded that I give him money. I was completely amazed and shocked by what was going on. So I just stared at the gun with a blank face. He assured me that yes, the gun was loaded, because he thought I was trying to size up the gun. This kind of snapped me out of this little shock that I was in. So I pulled out my credit card. I said, this is all I have on me. The man kind of nervously, he looked around and he told me to give him my phone, which I willingly did. And then he instructed me, just keep walking, don't look behind you. So I heard him running in the opposite direction. This confrontation was over. Now this event, it shook me up for quite some time. Probably would for most people. I'm thankful that God protected me in all that I lost during this was actually the cell phone that was literally duct taped together to keep working. But not once during this crazy, probably 60 seconds or so, did I ask God for his protection. So let's begin by turning over to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. It's an incredibly familiar verse, but it's also the title of this message. So 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. First Thessalonians 5 verse 17 simply says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The title of this split sermon is Pray Without Ceasing. Now I went through quite an experience, but this concept was not in my mind. I would dare say I wasn't even close enough to God at this time to pray during this. Not a single moment during these 60 seconds or so did I consider talking to God and asking for his protection. Now recently I was considering, how many times a day do I think about God? How about you? How many thoughts a day do we have about God, or his kingdom, or his way of life? In fact, let's go even more broad. How many thoughts a day do we even have in general? About a year ago, a study came out by psychologists from Queen's University in Canada. They were trying to concentrate on specific thought patterns that focused on the same ideas throughout consecutive moments. Now, why were they doing this? Well, they were trying to figure out how many thoughts a day the average person has. So they used functional MRIs, brain scans. They looked at brain patterns. They were trying to see when a new thought would pop up. Now, it still wasn't a perfect process, but they were able to estimate for the average person how many thoughts a day someone has. So how many thoughts a day do we have? If I was guessing, I would guess I have maybe 100, 200 thoughts a day. I'd guess my wife Amanda probably has a million thoughts a day. Now, the research didn't look at men versus women, unfortunately. I'd love to see that. But they estimated that the average person has about 6,200 thoughts a day. 6,200 thoughts. Now, assuming this number is somewhat accurate, it seems like the best guess that science can give us right now. You could average about 6,200 thoughts a day. So that's a lot of different ideas and thoughts and different directions that your mind goes in throughout the day. It's kind of fascinating to think about. But how many of those 6,200 thoughts per day are geared towards God? When I first started considering this topic, I had the tough realization, not enough of my thoughts are thinking about God and his way during the day. Maybe you're the same way. Maybe your typical day is this. We wake up. It's hard to get out of bed. We manage to drink some coffee. We wake up just a little bit. We're able to get a little prayer in, a little Bible study in before you're interrupted by your family. We briefly talk to everyone, and then the workday begins. Whether it's driving into work, maybe you're logging into work, maybe you're starting work with the kids for school. But it ends up being a busy day. We have some frustrations that pop up. We say a quick prayer a few times to get through the day, and then the workday ends. We eat dinner, maybe watch a little TV, maybe work on the house a little bit, and then fall into bed, maybe giving a quick prayer before we fall to sleep. And then it starts all over again that next day. Now, we've all probably had days like I just described. Maybe that describes most of your weeks. But again, let's ask this hard question. How many times a day do you, or do I, think about God? In the average day I just mentioned, we would have thought about God during prayer and during Bible study. Maybe the time that someone cut us off in traffic. Or our boss when he got onto us for something that wasn't really our fault. Or a child that decided to give themselves a haircut. So maybe we got frustrated 3 or 4 times that day, and we remembered to give a quick prayer 2 of those times, let's say. So to add it up, maybe we thought about God, if you add it all together, maybe 5 times that day, 5 different times. So 5 times out of 6,200 thoughts per day. That means it's not even a 1/10 of 1% that our thoughts are on our Creator. Now, my point with this, I'm not trying to quantify our thoughts, but if you're like me, we may not have God in mind as much as we actually should during the day. And if we don't have God in our thoughts, in our hearts at all times, we're going to make bad decisions. So what's the remedy to this? Well, let's examine this concept. We've heard many, many times, but let's look at it just from a little different angle. Now, if you're still in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we said, pray without ceasing. 3 simple words, pray without ceasing. I submit to you that this can help us increase how often we think about God during the day, which means we're going to have a better relationship with God, which means we're going to be better people, which means we're going to be happier. We'll get along better with everyone else. We'll make even our family and everyone we interact with happier because we feel better also, because we are better people. Now let's back up a second and look at the context of what 1 Thessalonians is saying. One of the main reasons that Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, it was to encourage and establish the newly formed congregations in the basic truth of God's way of life. Now my heading for this first section in 1 Thessalonians 5, it literally says the day of the Lord. We know that's the time period that God's going to intervene in world affairs. He's going to bring punishment to mankind for its disobedience. So let's start in 1 Thessalonians 5 and back up to verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Now we know this time period is coming. We have been warned. We cannot wait until it comes to establish our relationship with God. It must already be in place. We must have that relationship before the end time comes. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day shall overtake you as a thief. Now consider the 10 virgins. Five of them were able to wake up with the store of oil that they had. 5 of them had no oil. It was too late. So changing, becoming more like Christ, overcoming, developing character, this takes time. We can't just wait to have this great relationship with our Father in Jesus Christ right at the end time. We must always have that connection. So do we have that connection right now? Prayer is a huge part of that relationship. Drop down to verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep, as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So we must be spiritually awake. Jesus Christ tells us to watch and pray in the Gospels. Watching and praying go together. So what's really being said here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? We don't have time to read it all, but Paul mentions the Lord's Day, and we have to be ready for it. How can we be ready for it? Verse 12 begins the exhortations of what we're to do to be ready for the end time. One of these things is what we're discussing here today. We are to pray without ceasing. So what does this mean? Why is he saying this? Now, before we tackle that question, let's ask a different question first. Why do we pray? We're told to, but prayer helps to establish that line of communication with God. So praying builds this personal relationship with God, which we know is necessary. However, we cannot pray nonstop. It's obviously impossible to pray when we're sleeping. So does it mean we should be praying nonstop when we're awake? Now, we won't turn there, but Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 tells us, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. It's Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10. So we're not to be lazy, but we're to work for our wages. We work for our family. So if we're working in our career with all of our might, we can't be praying nonstop while we're doing that, when we're working 9 to 5. So I think most of us would agree, we can't pray nonstop even when awake. So then what does this mean? Now, the first explanation is one that we probably hear and read the most. We're to always pray daily so we have that relationship. We're to pray persistently. We're to pray consistently. It's a good idea to pray in the morning before we start the day. It's a good idea to pray at night to evaluate how your day has gone, to repent on the different things that went wrong during the day. If we're having money issues, family issues, pain in our, bodies, whatever trials we're going through, we pray about it every day. We ask God for relief. We are to be persistent and consistent. So we don't just pray about something once. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. We should be doing this. I hope we are all doing this. It's an incredibly important necessity in our spiritual life. But I want to spend the rest of the message on the second way we can take this verse. Let's consider what I call instant prayers. These are the prayers that we give spontaneously based on how the day's going or based on what's immediately happening in our life. It's not our planned out longer prayer that we give in the morning or at night or both. But how often do we give instant prayers every day? I mentioned in the beginning an experience when I should have prayed for protection. I submit to you that by giving many instant prayers during the day, we're going to draw closer to God. It doesn't replace our longer, more in-depth prayer, but instant prayer supplements our longer prayers. Instant prayer has helped me tremendously since I started doing this more often. Now let's consider something. How long does it take to give this instant silent prayer? We can do it in seconds. When we all hear a new prayer request at church, do we say a prayer for them immediately? How about if someone tells you they're going through a trial? Do we say a quick prayer for them immediately? Sometimes for me, if I don't do that, I may forget about it later on. But how long does that prayer take? Seconds, probably? I know of song leaders and speakers who pray that morning about either given a message or song leading, but then as they walk up, they still give a silent prayer on the way up. They want, we all pray that God is hopefully helps us to be encouraging, helps us to be helpful. So these prayers are often fast. There's something we can do without delay. Maybe we're in a bad headspace from like a long week, and maybe we're not getting much out of a message. What can we do? Pray that God helps us listen, helps us hear what we need to. So there's lots of times that this instant prayer can be needed. Now we won't turn there, but you can write down Psalm 119, verses 164. Psalm 119, verse 164. The author says, seven times a day I praise you. Seven times a day I praise you. And I don't believe the author meant he had a checklist where he had to pray 7 times each day. That's not how that phrase is normally used. Instead, the author's saying he did it consistently, he did it constantly, he did it repeatedly throughout the day. We can also be doing these instant prayers throughout the day. If we see a need, we pray for it right then and right there. God wants to hear from us. So when should you do some of these quick, spontaneous prayers? Any time that you want to. The more often you do it, the more that God's going to be in the forefront of your mind. So there's many more than four, but let's consider 4 times that you may want to give this instant prayer. So 1 for instant prayer giving 1 is pray that God leads us. Pray that God leads us. So let's turn over to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. We can give a quick prayer when we need God's guidance in something. Maybe we get to choose between 2 big projects at work for the week on Monday. Maybe a friend wants us to do something we know maybe isn't the best idea. Maybe we're frustrated with a project. We can't figure out the right way to go with it. Send a quick prayer that God gives us the answer. Genesis 24 is the story of Abraham sending one of his servants to select a wife for Isaac. Now, most likely, this was his trusted servant, Eliezer. As the selection of a wife for a son, especially the firstborn, especially the heir to the position of a head of a family, it was a very important undertaking. Now, I'll just call him the servant because it never says his name. Probably it was Eliezer. But Genesis 24, verse 11, and he, the servant, made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Genesis 24, verse 12. Then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Verse 14, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please, let your pitcher down that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So this servant was standing by a well. He was saying a quick prayer that God would guide him in seeing who was the right wife for Isaac. Now, it doesn't say in the scriptures, and I'll take a little liberty here, but knowing how important it was to choose a wife for Isaac, I guess this servant had been praying about this for many days, that God would lead him to the right person. But this particular prayer we just read, it may have been out loud, it may have been silent, but either way, it was a quick prayer asking for God's guidance and help while he was by this well of water. Now, how do we know it's quick? Read verse 15. And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. So this servant, he asked for God's guidance in finding the right person. Rebekah ended up being the woman that Isaac married. So yes, in our normal daily prayer, we ask God to guide us every day. But at times, we still have to make these decisions during the day. Some of them are going to be really important. Now, you probably aren't going to go to a restaurant praying that someone will buy you a drink and you're going to marry them. I assume that would be kind of the modern take on this. But we do ask God to guide you for those daily decisions that are important. It helps to keep God in your decisions. It helps to keep God in the forefront of your mind. Now, point 2 is related to the first one. What else can we have instant prayer about? 2 is pray for God's intervention. 2 is pray for God's intervention. We should ask God for help. It should be our normal prayer life also, but it can also happen with this instant prayer. So let's turn over to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. This is the story of Samson. God used Samson to help the Israelites break free from the Philistines. Now, we know Samson had incredible strength, but he also had some regrettable weaknesses. He followed his lust. What happened at the end of Samson's life? Delilah betrayed him. Samson got imprisoned by the Philistines, and they made him blind. So the Philistines, they gathered together to offer this great sacrifice to their god, Dagon. But what'd they do with Samson? Probably not the smartest thing, but they placed him between two pillars in their pagan temple. So let's read Judges 16, verse 28. Judges 16 and verse 28. Judges 16, verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord, saying, O Lord God, remember me, I pray. Strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, before we go any further, we know Samson had lots of faults. But don't forget, Samson's actually mentioned in Hebrews 11. He's mentioned as one of the heroes of faith. It appeared, from what we can tell, that Samson did die a godly man. So perhaps Samson became humble while he was in prison. Perhaps he rededicated himself to God. But he prayed this instant prayer. What happened? Verse 29. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars, which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he pushed with all his might, and the temple fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead that he killed at his death were more than he had killed in his life. So what happened? Samson was up there, and he literally just pushed, and God answered Samson's quick prayer. Samson fulfilled God's will, even though it took his life also. And turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Sometimes in our lives, things happen so fast, and that's really all we have to think about during the heat of the moment. Other times things, you know, happen so fast we literally can't get any words out, whether they're silent or not. Let's see what Romans 8 says. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, Romans 8, 26, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now this verse could be taken several ways. At times we can be so frustrated, we can be in tears, we don't know where to start, we don't even know how to say what's wrong, we don't know how to pray to God. The Holy Spirit can help us in times like that. I've been like that before. But maybe also the Holy Spirit, which obviously is the power of God in Christ, maybe it also helps in an emergency that's so abrupt we don't even have time to think about it. I really don't know how it works, but it's pretty interesting to think about. Also, while in grad school, I was playing intramural flag football. I broke my ring finger on my left hand. Now, I knew how important my hands were for my job. So I was seeing a hand specialist to make sure that I didn't have any lasting effects on my finger from the fracture. So I was told to wear a splint. So I wore the splint for 6 weeks that immobilized the joint. So I could not move that for 6 weeks. I couldn't bend at all. After the 6 weeks was up, I went back to the specialist. He said it was healing, everything looked great, so I could start to bend the finger again. So on the drive home, I started opening and closing my hand like this. I felt a little weird, but it was opening and closing it. And as I was driving on a ramp to get on the interstate. And it started to feel so weird and started to feel very painful. I suddenly got lightheaded. Obviously it stopped this, but that didn't stop what was happening. So I started to get lightheaded. And then I actually lost my vision. I started to slow down and get off the ramp, but then I completely blacked out. When I came to, there was someone at my passenger door, knocking and trying to get it open. My car was revving continually. I wasn't sure what happened. Now the man who was at my passenger door, he happened to be an undercover policeman, but he stopped when he saw what happened. It turns out, as I was doing this, my body went into shock and I completely blacked out. So my car went, as I was getting onto that ramp, it went up and then down the hill and I crashed into a guardrail at the bottom. My transmission got tangled up in the guardrail, which is why my car was revving when I came to. So I was obviously scared and thinking, is my car going to blow up? And the guy's like, just turn your engine off. So I was like, oh, that makes sense. But I walked away unharmed. My car was totaled. It was so wrapped up in that guardrail that it ruined the hydraulics on the first tow truck that tried to actually pull it up. But I walked away fine with no injuries. God protected me. A day later, I returned to where that accident was. I looked at the tire tracks. They were completely perpendicular to the guardrail. But when I hit that guardrail, I hit it at a 45-degree angle. What does that mean? Much less whiplash to me. Now, physically, it's not possible for tire tracks to be facing this way and not to hit it that way. I have no doubt God performed a miracle. But once again, I did not cry out to God. Maybe I had time, maybe I didn't. I don't know. But hopefully the Holy Spirit, God's power, made intercession for me. It's embarrassing to realize, once again, I did not have God on my mind. So point three is related to point two. Let's move on to the next one, but it's more specific. Point three is pray for the right words. Point three for instant prayer is pray for the right words. There's many times that we can pray for the right words for tough conversations. We pray when we have that tough conversation about for work or school, about not working on the Sabbath or to take off for holy days. We pray for the right words when someone tells us they've had a rough week or if they've lost someone dear to them. Let's turn over to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2. Consider Nehemiah in the beginning of his story. He's the king's cupbearer. Now, to us, that doesn't mean much, but it was an honored position of trust. He would have had the full confidence of the king. Now, Nehemiah is told by his brother that the Jews in Jerusalem and the Jews in the surrounding areas were not doing well. And this really disturbs Nehemiah. His people were not doing well. So he mourns and fasts about it in Nehemiah chapter 1. In chapter 2 of Nehemiah, though, the king realizes that Nehemiah is not doing well. He's incredibly unhappy. So Nehemiah 2, verse 2. Nehemiah 2, verse 2. Therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Because since you're not sick, there is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Now the Nelson Study Bible points out that Persian kings believed that just being in the presence of a king would make any person happy. So it would have been insulting for Nehemiah to be unhappy while he was talking to the king. Now that could have been part of why he was scared. He also knew that he wanted to ask the king to go to Jerusalem. Possibly the king could have taken this as Jerusalem's more important than the king was. And thirdly, this king was the one who ordered the work on the wall in Jerusalem to be stopped. Ezra chapter 4 tells us that. So humanly, Nehemiah had great reason to be afraid. But what did Nehemiah say? Verse 3, and Nehemiah said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Verse 4, then the king said to me, what do you request? Now Nehemiah, he knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted to say. And this king was waiting for an answer. But instead of answering immediately, what does it say that he does? The end of verse 4 says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. So this king, you know, the ruler of the land, he's asking this question. He expects an answer. But Nehemiah still stops, says a quick silent prayer. Verse 5, and I said to the king then, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Now the king could have had, he had every right to have Nehemiah executed at that time. But instead, the king asked Nehemiah, how long would the journey take, and when's he going to get back? So Nehemiah said this quick prayer. It seems like it at least, probably just seconds long. But God answered his prayer. Nehemiah was allowed to go to Jerusalem to help his people. So pray that God gives you the right words during some of our tough situations. Hopefully God answers your quick prayer. But that leads us to our fourth thing to pray about. Our fourth and final thing to pray about with instant prayer. Pray to thank God. Number four is pray to thank God. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at one more concept found in that chapter. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now Paul mentioned the Lord's day is approaching. We all have to be ready. But then he gives these exhortations, like we mentioned, of how to be ready. So let's read 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, rejoice always. And we just heard a message about this last week, the importance of having joy, the importance of being happy. Right after, verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Now, several commentaries mentions that prayer is a means to maintain our rejoicing. I agree with that. Prayer can help us with rejoicing. And notice verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So as Christians, we can have joy because God blessed us so much. We should thank God for this in prayer. These thoughts all seem to go together here. Let's turn over also to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. It also says something similar. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Now I submit to you this point number four, thanking God in prayer. It may be the most important instant prayer out there. Why? Because it puts God first. It makes us realize we're nothing without God. All good things come from our Father. Hebrews 13 verse 15. Therefore by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So here in Hebrews 13, 15, we're told, in pretty plain language, to continually praise and thank God. During the day, I often give an instant prayer that God leads me, helps me, gives me the right words to say. But I've realized I don't thank God very much during the day. Do you? We're told we're to be thankful continually. For lack of time, we won't turn there, but I'll read something else from Genesis chapter 24. We started with the story of Abraham's servant. We read how the servant was praying for God to make it clear, and Rebekah showed up before he stopped speaking. It became clear that God led the servant to Rebekah. Now, this is right after Rebekah told him who she was, and then she told him there was room for the servant to stay with her family. But what did he do after that? I'll just read it to you. Genesis 24, verse 26. Then the man, the servant, bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. So right after this exchange, he did this immediately. Genesis 4, verses 26. So Abraham's servant, he had his instant prayer answered, and then he immediately thanked God. We should learn from this lesson. We have to continually thank God. Now, thinking back to where we began, instant prayer helps us turn our 6,200 thoughts more towards God and less towards ourselves. Even by praying in the morning and maybe at night, sometimes our thoughts may not be on God enough during the day. We might have our structured prayer, but then we don't really think about God the rest of the day. So let's turn over to a familiar scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. This will be our last scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Paul is talking about our spiritual warfare in 2 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to break into this thought and just read the very last part of it. So 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, another familiar verse. It says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. How can we bring every thought into captivity? We're never going to do it perfectly. But I propose to you, when that random thought that can turn into a sin way too quickly, when that thought pops into your head, give a quick prayer right then. Pray for God to remove it. Pray for God to remove the temptation. For me, this has been more successful than anything else for trying to bring every thought into captivity. I'm still not very good at it, but it's helping. Maybe it'll be helpful for you also. And I'd like to end with some examples that I could think of for this type of quick prayer. We wake up and thank God for a new day. Anytime we sit down to eat, offer simple thanks to God. As we're getting ready for the day, you can say a quick prayer then. Whenever we get a prayer request or a prayer update, say a prayer immediately, either thanking or praying for that person. When we're standing in line, when we're waiting for something. Anytime we get in our car, ask for protection, ask for favor. Any important decision, stop and ask for God's guidance. If something goes well, immediately thank and praise God for the success. When things go wrong, ask God for his intervention and what lessons we should be learning. Before we do any Bible study, pray that God opens our mind. So we all know the importance of prayer. We all know we should have a regular prayer life. We should have regular communication with God. But I propose, if we aren't already doing this, to increase our instant prayers during the day for those unexpected events that just pop up. Praise God more during the day for all the things he does for us. Continue to pray without ceasing.